Today we're going to talk about Jesus came for everyone. Think about the person in your life that you really don't like. In fact, inside of you there might even be a hint of hate. Hopefully not, but maybe. Guess what? Jesus came for them. And he wants to have a relationship with them. Some of you were thinking about somebody that hurt you, somebody that used you, or maybe even abused you. Maybe we could think about the terrorists. Jesus died for them. Jesus came for them. Jesus came to love them and save them. The terrorists? Well, if you stop and think about it, the Apostle Paul was a terrorist before he came to Christ. What about those judgmental religious people? He came for them too, didn't he? What about your boss? He came for him too, or her too. The drug addicts, the people that live on the streets, the people that have horrible reputations, he came for them too, didn't he? That brother, or that sister, or that crazy aunt, he came for them too. That mom or that dad, he came for them too. Who is it that comes to your mind? Maybe you have someone in your life that, listen, I know none of us would ever admit this out loud, but maybe, just maybe, you have someone in your life that somewhere deep down inside, you hope they never come to Christ because you don't want to spend eternity with them. Eternity's a long time. Hopefully we don't have that in this group, but I do understand the human heart, and I do understand how so often we have these feelings and serious, deep-seated emotions that people bring in us, this hatred, this feeling of, I don't want to spend eternity there. And we need to deal with that in our hearts, don't we? I do talk to some people sometimes, and when we talk about the need to forgive, they just can't see it happening. I don't see how I could ever forgive this person. And the reality is they don't understand what forgiveness really is. Forgiveness is letting you off the hook, not them. Forgiveness is letting you off the hook, not them. It's your choice. It's none of their business. We can talk about that on another Sunday. But you would never say it. But anytime someone says something about the possibility of that person coming to Christ, somewhere deep down inside there's this anxiety. They don't deserve to be forgiven. They don't deserve to be let off the hook. There's something about God's kingdom that we all need to understand, and that is this: Jesus came for everyone. Amen. And guess what? That includes you. Isn't that great? Just because he came for everyone doesn't mean everyone gets to go to heaven, though. But it does mean that everyone can get heaven. When God came as a baby, he laid in a manger, completely vulnerable. You understand, he was completely vulnerable to the people around him, even to the animals going crazy and doing something, knocking over the manger. Anything could have happened. Jesus was completely vulnerable. God was vulnerable as he laid there in the manger, waiting and hoping for somebody to feed him, hoping somebody was going to change his diaper. Imagine that. God, the creator, as Jesus eventually said, he was the creator of the universe and everything that we know. And there he laid in a manger, completely vulnerable to his own creation. What was he saying? He's saying, I've come for everyone. I've come into this world just like all of you came into this world, and I'm not a threat to you. So everyone can go to heaven, but there's only one way, and that is through Jesus. And some don't like that. Some don't like the concept that there's only one way to heaven. Well, all religions, and we can hear them say it, and it sounds so intellectual, and it sounds so inviting and welcoming, but what's wrong with that? The one true God says there's only one way to heaven, and this is it. Well, and then I've got another question. Why would we want to come up with another way? There is no better way than the way that God actually gave us to come to heaven. Some get angry about it. No, I want this way, or I want this religion to be right. And there's really no reason that we should reject what Christ has done for us. Allow me to ask this. Why would anybody not want what Jesus did for us and gave for us to be able to get to heaven? Why? Well, some of it's because of bad teaching through the years. There's a lot of misunderstanding about what Jesus did. He came to give everyone his grace. What is grace? Grace is unearned. It means you can't earn it. It's undeserving. Can't deserve it. And it's unmerited favor. Can't work for it. Can't deserve it. It's unmerited. The beautiful night in Bethlehem, Jesus was born to bring grace to everyone. We all want grace. When Jesus was here, more than any other thing, that people were attracted to him. You know, there were a lot of people attracted to Jesus, more than anything, more than his miracles. Everybody wanted to see his miracles, but more than anything, more than his great teachings, more than anything, people were attracted to the grace that Jesus brought into a room. The welcoming, the kindness, his grace. It was very attractive. Jesus offered grace in his relationships. Grace is unearned. You can't work for it. Grace, you can't pay for it. You can't be good enough for it. In fact, if you try to be any of those things to get it, you disqualify yourself. Otherwise, it's not grace. Grace is what you crave. We all crave grace, especially when you hurt someone you love or someone that you need in your life. You crave for grace in those moments. Because in that moment, you can't take back what you've done. You can't go back and change it like it never happened. You can only hope that somehow you'll be given grace by that person that you love or that you need in your life. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. But you crave it from them. That they will accept you. That they will treat you as though it never happened. That they will even have feelings. You want them to feel like you're a good person, don't you? You want them to feel like everything's okay with you, so that grace is what you crave from that for that person. I remember when I was a kid one time, my mom, remember those candles that they started making back in the 80s where they would shave off the side and they would twirl it down? Do y'all remember those? And they were all kinds of different colors, big thick candles. Well, mom had gotten one from somebody. I don't know who gave it to her. And she loved that candle. It was beautiful. And she had it sitting over there, and I don't remember what I did, but I knocked it off somehow, and it smashed the side of it. And I thought, okay, well, wax melts. I can fix this. So I went and got some matches, and I started working on that thing. I started melting it and trying to weld it back together. You can imagine what that looked like, something out of a Charlie Brown commercial. Yeah. And I remember when my mom saw that, I mean, she just, it was one of those things that whoever gave it to her meant something to her. And you know, ladies, you've been there. She's, oh, my candle. And she started, I can see the tears. And I remember the feeling inside of me that the rest of my life, every time mom looked at me, all she was going to remember was that I broke her candle. You know the feeling that I'm talking about. And I wanted so badly to get her in alignment with me, that she would feel good about me again, that she would look at me and see good things again. I wanted her to have grace on me. And we all want grace in our relationships. We all mess up. We all have failed each other. Agreed? And God says, you have all failed Him. All have sinned and fall short of God's ideal, His glory. This is what God's grace is. It's what we crave. It's what we want. And this is why Jesus came, to give us grace. Why wouldn't we want that? It's what we crave. It's what we want. Why wouldn't we want it? Here's where the tension is, though. There's two areas of tension when it comes to grace. God's grace, number one, is only extended to the humble. It's only extended to the humble. And secondly, another area of tension is God's grace is for everyone, not fairly. Doesn't seem fair. Let's talk about the first one. There's tension there. God only gives grace to the humble. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote one of the books of the Bible. You remember James, he didn't even believe in Jesus when he was alive. It was until after the resurrection that the brother of Jesus, one of the half-brothers of Jesus, believed in him. And he wrote this book called James in the Bible. And James picked up on it that Jesus, really what he was after was relationship with people. And he wanted to give grace to people. And he understood that only grace comes in the context of a relationship through humility. In other words, no longer was eternal life, getting to go to heaven, about finding ways to deserve things from God. That's what the old covenant was about. Making sacrifices, giving your tithe, and all of the things that it took to deserve a relationship with God. And James said, no, that's not what this is about. This has completely changed. Jesus came so that he could give us grace and we get to have a relationship with him. Not that we deserve his blessing, not that we expect it in a way that we earned it, but because we recognize it's about relationship and he wants us to know that he's okay with us and that he feels good with us. James wrote about why we fight each other so much. So if you're wondering why you fight at home and why you fight at work and all of that and the people in your life, why they, well, let's go there. Everyone else fights, not us, right? Okay, let's understand why everyone else fights, all right? He says, why do you fight and argue with each other? Isn't it because you are full of selfish desires that fight to control your body? He's talking about the flesh. Your body craves, your body wants. Well, your body also is craving grace. And that's what we really want. But we think it's all of this other stuff. He says, you want something you don't have, and you will do anything to get it. You will even kill, but you still cannot get what you want, and you won't get it by fighting and arguing. What's he saying? I know what you really want. You want grace. You're not going to get it by fighting and arguing. You should pray for what you want. Yet even when you pray, your prayers are not answered because you pray just for selfish reasons. You people aren't faithful to God. Don't you know that if you love the world, you're enemies, God's enemies? And if you decide to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God? Do you doubt the scriptures that say God truly cares about the spirit he's put in us? So understand, God's spirit lives inside of us now, and he cares about that. Do you care about it? Verse 6, in fact, God treats us with even greater kindness, just as the scriptures say. God opposes everyone who is proud, but he is kind to everyone who is humble. Isn't that beautiful? He digs his heels in against the proud, but he warmly embraces humility. Number 7, surrender to God. Resist the devil, and he will run from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Clean up your lives, you sinners. Pride says, I deserve a relationship with God. Or I deserve a relationship with my wife. That's pride. Pride says, even if I hurt you, I deserve a relationship with you. Even if I hurt you, God, I deserve it. You're God. Come on. You've got everything. That's pride. Pride says, you need me as much as I need you. Pride says, you should give me grace because God gave you grace. Honey, you should give me grace because God gave you grace. Come on, he saved you. Just let me do anything that I want in your life. You should give me grace. Think what I want you to think about me. Feel what I want you to feel about me. I want you to give me grace because God gave you grace. That's pride. Humility is a completely different story, and we know it. Humility says, I don't deserve a relationship with you. I don't deserve it. But I'm going to do whatever it takes to work for that. Not because I'll eventually deserve it, but because I receive that responsibility, and I recognize I don't deserve it. That's humility. Humility says, I'm going to forget how much I need you and focus on how much you need me. That's humility. I'm going to forget about how much I need you and realize how much you need me and make that happen for you. I got a call from a guy one day. His wife was finished. She was done. He had gone home for lunch, and when he got home for lunch, he found a note, and all of her stuff that she needed immediately was out. So he calls me. He's sobbing. He's crying. This is a big, burly, bearded fella that didn't give me the time of day before this moment in his life. And he calls and he's crying, so I drive out to where he is and I meet him, and he's sobbing. He's just, I mean, he was a wreck. Ladies, you have no idea the influence you have on these guys' lives. He was a mess, absolute mess. And he kept saying this, I can't live without her. I can't live without her. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to live? There's no way I can live without her. And I asked him this, is that what you've been saying to her? What have you been telling her since you found out about this? Well, I've been leaving messages on her phone. I can't live without you. I need you. I need you. I need you. You've broken my heart. I said, okay, I'm going to tell you two things here. I'm going to tell you one thing to stop doing and one thing to start doing. One, never, ever tell her you need her again. Never tell her you need her again, ever. And you start telling her what you're going to do for her. And you know, it was within 2 months that lady moved back home, and they're still together to this day. The relationship was about him as far as he was concerned. The second area of tension, God's grace is extended to the humble. We humble ourselves. I don't deserve you. I don't deserve to be in this relationship. And it's the same with God. And secondly, real quick, God's grace is for everyone, not fairly. When Jesus told stories about grace, he used money to help us to understand it. Did you know that? He wasn't really talking about money when he was talking about money. Sometimes he was, but most of the time he was talking about grace, trying to help us to understand God's grace. Matthew 20. As Jesus was telling what the kingdom of heaven was like, he said, early one morning, a man went out to hire some workers for his vineyard. After he had agreed to pay them the usual amount for a day's work, he sent them off to his vineyard. All right, so Jesus goes down to Frisco, and he drives up to the gas station, and there's all the guys waiting for work standing out there. All right, so he goes out, and he loads a few up in his truck, and he takes off and sends them out to his vineyards. And he went on to say he came back at 9 o'clock and there were some other guys. He picked them up and said, come on, guys, come work for me. This is how much I'm going to pay you. And he said, this is the amount I'm going to pay. It's going to be a fair amount. If they work in his vineyard, this is what he's going to pay them. And he did the same thing, came back at noon, and then he came back at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and did the same thing. And it says that he found the guys that were loafing around. In other words, they didn't have purpose. They thought, well, this day is shot. We're not going to get hired. Everything's, you know, I'm just going to come back out tomorrow morning and we'll try it out, try again. And then Jesus goes to the extreme to make sure we get his point. And it says that he came back about 5 o'clock. Now, this is almost the end of the day. And he comes back at 5 o'clock when there's only like an hour of work left. And he's going to hire some more people to come and work in his vineyards at the last hour of the day. So at the end of the day, after all of it was said and done, now just imagine, some of the guys that he picked up that morning had come early. You know, they had their signs. They're like, oh, we'll work. I'm ready. I'm excited to be here. I'm going to be a good worker. And they were excited to be there to get hired that day. The other guys maybe didn't show up at that time. Maybe they were late coming in. And these guys, they were there all day long, working in the vineyard. And Jesus said that he told the manager, he said, all right, I want you to get all the guys gathered around and the people that were picked up last, I want you to pay them first. And he did. He paid them the same amount that he had agreed to pay the first guys that he picked up, all the guys all day long. That's not fair, is it? Well, the other guys got excited. They're like, oh man, if he's going to pay them that, he's going to definitely pay us at least twice that. So they were excited. He got down the line and he started paying them the same amount as the first guys that he started paying all the way to the end. That's not fair. But Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The owner said this, because the guys got mad. They were like, that's not fair. What's wrong with you? And the owner looked at him and said, friend, I didn't cheat you. I paid exactly what we agreed on. Take your money now and go. What business is it of yours if I want to pay them the same amount I paid you? It's not any of your business. Don't I have the right to do with what I want with my own money? Why should you be jealous if I want to be generous? In other words, Jesus was saying this, what business is it of yours? Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own grace? This is the tension in the kingdom of heaven, and we don't like it. It doesn't seem fair by human standards, because we've all been taught what is fair and what is right, but we have to realize that we're all in so much debt to God. We're all in so much debt to God. We don't have the right to His grace. We don't deserve His grace. We haven't earned His grace. And you can't. You can't. It's undeserved. It's unmerited. And the reality is, He's talking about people just like some of you and me. I got there early. I've been trying to do this since I was a kid. Yes, I've made a lot of mistakes, but I got in this work early. I started reading the Bible and studying. I remember when I was 8, 9 years old, getting my first real Bible. And it was a King James. And I could understand the King James. I was like Caleb, probably better than Caleb, though.
Oh, no. Oh,
I got in early. And some of you, you know, you've been at this all your life. You got in early. And some of you, you were heathens and you were horrible. You're like, I'm kidding. The reality is, it doesn't matter if you got in early or late. We were all in the same boat. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. It's unmerited. It's grace. And God says, I love you and I feel great about you. Isn't that beautiful? But my brother, see, I'm preparing my heart for the possibility that he's going to get saved. I want him to get saved. But I started early on. But my brother, he's 53 years old now. And today, he's in a rehab center being forced by the prison to go there. And the reality is, maybe he'll get saved and he probably will become the greatest pastor in all of America. Wouldn't that be awesome? I got to prepare my heart for the possibility of that happening. It would be great. And I hope I feel that way when it happens. Granted, Father. But even if that doesn't happen, the concept that he'll get to heaven and he will be given just as much as me and be loved just as much as me. There's the tension, and that is what we've got to be good with. That guy that hurt you, that lady that hurt you, that situation that seemed so unfair, Jesus came for us all. And by human standards, it does not seem fair. But one day we'll understand that we were all in the same boat. We all need Jesus. Why did Jesus say to those who came in the late and late get the same amount of grace, because it wasn't so much about the work. It never was. It was about letting him hire you. And how much better it is to work in the fields for Jesus than it is in the fields of the world. Amen? James David, would you come? Working in his vineyard is a privilege. You and I, we're either going to be slaves of sin or we're going to be slaves of Christ. Which one would you rather be? I cannot look at my brother or anybody and wish that I had been able to live the life that they lived, because it has been so wonderful working in the vineyard for Christ all these years. Amen? The sooner you come and you start working for Him, let Him hire you. Let Him let you work for Him. Makes life all the better, doesn't it? Have you come humbly before God? Have you presented yourself as somebody that does need Him? Or have you come with pride and said, God, you don't quite deserve me. I'm the best thing since sliced bread. God says, no, that's not the way this works. You need to know forgiveness. You need to understand what grace is and mercy. Forgiveness is one thing. Forgiveness is one thing, but grace is completely different. Grace is restoration. Grace is a relationship. And here's the beauty of it. God feels good about you today. He's not sitting up there angry with you and frustrated with you. He feels good about you. When He looks at you, He doesn't look at you the way you look at Him or the way that you look at yourself. He looks at you completely different through the eyes of grace. Would you bow your heads? So on this Christmas Sunday, thank Him for His grace. Thank you for your grace. Father, we humbly come before you today. Thank you for coming to us as a baby. You showed us what it was like to be humble, loving, gracious. Thank you that today we don't have to manipulate you to like us. You've already chosen to. You love us. You believe in us. You have a good, good future for each of us in your kingdom. And so we receive that today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for what you did on the cross for us. And today, as we partake in communion, we remember what you did in Jesus' name. Would you guys serve? When you receive your cup, if you just hold on to it, and I'll give you instructions in a minute. you want to peel the top off where the bread is. This is unleavened bread, symbolic of the body of Christ, the flesh of Christ, the sinless body, the sinless flesh of Christ. And so that's why it's not as good as the bread that you'd eat with dinner. It's symbolic. Yeast represents sin, is symbolic of sin. And that's why we don't have yeast in it. Yeast, a little bit of it, leavens a lot of bread, right? It grows, makes it bigger. A little bit of sin in our lives. How many of you experience that? It grows, it gets bigger. And so that's what this is symbolic of. And it says, the scripture says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. If you want to break yours. And he talked to the guys. He said, "This is my body which is broken for you." He made it very personal. And then he prayed and he gave thanks for his broken body. He knew what he was facing the next day for us. Let's give thanks. Jesus, thank you for your body which was broken for us. That grace would be possible. That forgiveness would be paid for. Thank you for healing that comes through your body. By your stripes, we are healed. We are so grateful. And Father, even as we participate in this today, we ask you to let your healing flow into our lives, our relationships, our physical bodies, our emotions, our thoughts. Every struggle in our life, we thank you for taking care of. And we remember today what you did 2,000 years ago for us. Thank you for your power and your precious body that was broken for us. In Jesus' name, would you eat together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It says, in the same manner, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, which is spilled for you, for the forgiveness of sins." I want you to just stare at that and imagine. With me, take a moment and just imagine the blood of Jesus as it dripped. And make it very personal. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that was spilled for me, your blood, that my sin would be washed away. That your grace would abound in my life. Thank you, Jesus. We remember what you did for us. And we remember that you're coming back for us as well. That we may live a life of victory and hope, peace and joy. In Christ's name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you drink together? Thank you, Jesus. Amen.